Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owens Beef Cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 7th of December, the 341st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 24 days left in 2024. Time to get your New Year resolutions and wishes to me. Before we get started, I'm sure you'll all join me in a hearty welcome to our new RFI Listeners Club member, Zahural Islam Joy from Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Welcome, Zahural. If you'd like to be a member of the general RFI Listeners Club, just send an email to english.service@rfi.fr and I'll get you signed up. You'll receive an RFI membership number, which you include with all your quiz entries, and if you win, you'll receive a premium prize.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen on Radio France International.
Still to come on The Sound Kitchen, the Listener's Corner with your answers to the bonus question, Olia's happy moment, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan Rome on Music from Erwan. But first...
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz... It's time for the quiz. On the 2nd of November, I asked you a question about Ghana. Melissa Shamam had just published her Spotlight on Africa podcast, where she shined the light on textile waste in Africa from fast fashion, and how Ghana has become a dumping ground for the world's unwanted textiles, with devastating consequences for local ecosystems. You were to send in the answer to these questions. How much secondhand clothing arrives in Ghana each week, and what happens to the unsellable clothes? The answer is, to quote Melissa, about 15 million items of secondhand clothing arrive in Ghana each week. Nearly half of it cannot be resold. The unsellable clothes end up in informal dumps or are burned in public washhouses, contaminating the air, soil, and water. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. Which of the 13 overseas French territories would you visit if you had the chance? The question was suggested by Hans Werner Lolica from Hedehusen, Denmark. You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so don't touch that dial. The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI Listeners Club member Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State in India. Radhakrishna is also the winner of this week's bonus question. He wrote, I will visit the islands of Wallis and Futuna. I would like to explore the Tali Tumu and Tonga Toto sites and dive in the saltwater of the Lalo Lalo Crater Lake. Congratulations, Radhakrishna, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week is a long-lost RFI Listeners Club member, Arnett Tim from Harjuma, Estonia. Welcome back to the kitchen, Arnett. Don't be such a stranger. There's also Iqbal Hossein, who's a member of the RFI International DX Radio Listeners Club in West Bengal, India, and our brand new RFI Listeners Club member, Zahural Islam Joy from Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Rounding out the list of lucky winners this week is RFI English listener Khadija Akhtar, also from Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Earlier this week, the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, began hearing evidence from 98 countries and 12 organizations about climate change and how to establish rules for rich nations to support poorer ones who are on the front lines of climate change. It's a landmark case brought by students in 2019 from the University of Vanuatu, the Pacific Island nation heavily impacted by climate change, led to a UN General Assembly resolution in 2023 asking the ICJ for a formal opinion on the legal obligations of states to protect the climate system. The court will also consider whether large polluting nations can be held liable for damages to vulnerable countries like small island states. You know all about the case because I know you read Paul Meyer's article, Small Island Nations Lead Fight for Climate Justice at UN's Top Court. I want you to reread it and send in the answer to this question. In addition to the small island states and developing countries, who else will the ICJ hear from? Which two big countries and which oil producer group will also testify before the International Court of Justice about the legal obligations of states to protect the climate system? Again, reread Paul's article, Small Island Nations Lead Fight for Climate Justice at UN's Top Court, and send in the answer to this question. In addition to the small island states and developing countries, who else will the ICJ hear from? Which two big countries and which oil producer group will also testify before the International Court of Justice about the legal obligations of states to protect the climate system? You'll find Paul's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week's bonus question was suggested by Litan Ahmed Mia from Nowgaon, Bangladesh. Litan wants to know about your first boat journey. What made it memorable? How did you feel after you got back to terra firma? What do you remember about your first boat journey? And how did you feel when you were back on land? Thanks, Litan, for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. You have until the 13th of January to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 19th of January to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to English.service at rfi.fr. That's English.service at rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Hello, I am Bhaskar Pal from West Bengal. You are listening to the Sound Kitchen, and Susan Wensby is cooking.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week was, which of the 13 overseas French territories would you visit if you had the chance? The question was suggested by Hans Werner Lolica from Hedehusen, Denmark. Dipita Chakraborty chose French Guiana. This is what she wrote. The attraction of the place is the alluring tropical rainforests that have a high level of biodiversity of flora and fauna. I would love to take a boat ride with the locals listening to their flowery Creole lullabies. The most enjoyable event would be to witness Carnival in their colorful costumes. Her husband, Jayanta, however, chose French Polynesia. He wrote, "I love the sea for its serene and panoramic landscape. French Polynesia is an idyllic location for me. It comes to my mind as a dreamland, for it has all I crave. Beaches with white sand and fascinating lagoons shimmering with blue and emerald water. I would explore the beautiful islands with mysterious caves, or join the fun-loving local Polynesians in their enviable lifestyle. So, my Chakrabarti friends, how about a nice long visit to both? We can dream, can't we? It's not white sand beaches, but black sand beaches that interest Kashif Khalil. He wrote, I would like to go to Martinique Island because its beaches are of black sand. And for me, that would be great to explore. Kashif, I saw black sand beaches on the island of Hawaii. It is very interesting, but a bit disturbing, as used as we are to white sand. I felt like I was on the moon. It was so startling. John Yemi Sande Touré also voted for French Polynesia, and Rodrigo Hunrechse, French Guiana. Arna Tim wrote, I would love to travel to Martinique because I saw a documentary about the nature there and the activities of the residents. Helmut Matt wrote, if I had the choice, I would definitely go to Polynesia. I've always dreamed of sitting by the sea in Tahiti, listening to the water and the surf with my eyes closed and forgetting the whole busy world around us. I also love Polynesian music, and there is certainly nothing better for me than a life without our rainy fall and the much too long cold winter. I hope that I'll still manage to visit French Polynesia at least once in my life. So do I, Helmut. Father Stephen Wara votes for Guadeloupe, mainly to visit a shrine. He wrote, I would certainly give precedence to Guadeloupe, mainly to visit Our Lady of Guadeloupe, the famous shrine of the Virgin Mary's apparition to Juan Diego in 1531. Malik Ala Bachaya Kokar chose the island of Réunion in the Indian Ocean. He wrote, Réunion is not too far from South Asia, where I live. Due to the natural conditions of the island of Réunion, there are few holiday destinations with such a wide range of sporting and cultural activities. Hiking, swimming and snorkeling, diving, paragliding or rafting, and much more are on offer. For me as a nature lover, the diversity of landscapes, the number of endemic plants, the different microclimates and the altitudes from 0 to over 3,000 meters offer a spectrum in a small area that cannot be found anywhere else and can be easily explored and admired during a vacation. Waterfalls, basins, lakes, different forests and vegetation zones, there's so much to discover. There's no mass tourism there, not even in high season. Kripa Ram chose the island of Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. Why? Here's what he wrote. I think in Guadeloupe, everything simply feels light. The stress of everyday life will fall away as soon as I step out of the plane. I would love the light breeze, the tropical smelling air, and the palm leaves in the backlight. When Christopher Columbus set foot on the island for the first time in November 1493, he was thrilled, and he promptly fulfilled the promise he had made to monks in Spain to name the island after the Spanish pilgrimage site Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, Guadalupe. Since then, the diverse volcanic island has developed from a colony into a self-confident French overseas department. We'll close with Nasir Muhammad, who wrote, For me, it's Tahiti, French Polynesia. Waiting for sponsorship of the trip from Susan and Paul. Ha ha ha. Nasir, we've already booked your flight and hotel. Haven't you received your tickets yet? As you said, ha 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 ha. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Litan Ahmed Mia from Naugaon, Bangladesh, is, what do you remember about your first boat journey, and how did you feel when it was over? Thanks again, Liton, for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
This is the Sound Kitchen. I am Jose Baptiste. I come from Guadalupe. Bienvenue.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. Sometimes you meet someone who really blows you away. It's something about their energy and enthusiasm that is contagious. Obviously, you want to know their secret. My happy moment this month is about my inspirational meeting with Franco-American choreographer and dancer Carolyn Carlson in Paris. An icon in the modern dance universe, at 81, she's still going strong and at the head of her own company. Her latest project was with the EDF Foundation Gallery in Paris for an exhibition called Dancing in the Light. She was invited alongside other choreographers to create a series of dance performances inspired by key pieces of the modern art collection around the theme of light. Carlson chose the installation by François Morellet, a giant patchwork of bright blue neon half circles. She wrote two poems for the event and invited other dancers and a cellist to improvise with her. I could see her amazing energy shining through, and I could see how much she enjoyed interacting with the public. Born in California with Finnish roots, Carlson has spent most of her adult life in Europe, particularly Italy and France. She told me how when she was little, she tried learning the piano, but she couldn't sit still long enough. She knew it was movement she craved, and dance became her holy grail. When she came to France in the late 60s, she prompted an uproar during a performance at the Opera in Paris. She was booed and applauded at the same time. Most people would have been put off by this, but not Carolyn. She knew she was doing something right and kept on doing it. Ever since then, she has led her life with the same determination and desire to try new things and push boundaries, whether it be on stage, with her teaching, or creating new pieces. As I took my leave, I asked her if there was anything she still had left to do in life after having done it all, and her answer gave me insight into her youthful spirit. "I have never arrived," she said, referring to her quest to always look forward to the next thing. And the next thing is making a film, something she's been trying to do for 30 years. She went on to say how she has learnt a lot from working with young dancers and that staying on the move is the best antidote to ageing. And hearing that made me happy. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with your fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. You can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Carolyn Carlson does sound like an extraordinary woman. Thank you, Olya. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Before we go, a few reminders. The EPOP video competition winners will be announced this coming Thursday, December 12th at 6 p.m. Paris time, live on the EPOP Facebook page. Of course, it will be in French, but my good pals Max and Gail, who run the Planet Radio department that sponsors EPOP, invited me to come on the show to talk to you for a few minutes in English. So plan to stay up late or get up early on the 12th of December, beloved listeners. The main reason to tune in is to support one of our own. Salim Akhtar Chadhar, the president of the RFI Seven Stars Listening Club in District Chinio, Pakistan, has made it into the finals in the RFI Club's category. Fingers crossed. The deadline for you to get your New Year 2025 resolutions or wishes to me is coming up. I'll need to have them by the 15th of this month. So to your pins. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next Saturday, the 14th of December, for the answer to the question about Quincy Jones. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. And today he's chosen music that sounds like home to me, a good down-home bluesman from Texas, Johnny Guitar Watson. He was a flamboyant showman and electric guitarist whose recording career spanned 40 years and encompassed rhythm and blues, funk, and soul music. Born in Houston in 1935, he moved to Los Angeles with his mother when he was 15, where he won several local talent shows and landed jobs singing and playing the piano and the guitar with blues bands. He quickly made a name for himself on the West Coast and soon became a guitar star. Watson died of a heart attack in 1996, collapsing on stage during a concert in Japan. He always said he wanted to die on stage, so his last wish was fulfilled. Erwan chose Motorhead Baby, which he wrote with Mario Delagarde in 1953. Roll back the rugs, my friends, and get up and dance. Thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to y'all next week.
Got a motorhead, baby. Wanna ride all night long. Yes, motorhead, baby. Wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong. Well, she ride all night, she ride all day, she ride with your partner long as everything's okay. Motorhead, baby, wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong. Well, she ride in a Cadillac and a Buick with a smile. Take a Ford or a Chevrolet, must be a 52 style. Motorhead, baby, wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong. Well, I take my baby ride, we ride up in the hills. She like the floating power, the cat like coupe de ville. Motorhead, baby, wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong. Let's ride, baby. Slow, that's the kind of stuff she hates. She's heard about the speed of the Rocket 88. Yes. Motorhead, baby, wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong. I was driving down the highway, doing about 93. Said, step on the gas, darling, and stop that teasing me. Motorhead, baby, wanna ride all night long. If you don't have transportation, yeah, she treats you wrong.